Mr. Gown, may it please the court, let me start off by answering two questions that were posed to Mr. Coffin. Judge Posner asked whether the Illinois courts have interpreted the physician patient, the privilege statute with respect to stopping hospitals from giving up medical records. The answer is yes. The case is Parkson versus DuPage Hospital, and it examined precisely that point and decided it, as I said in my brief. The second question is Judge Williams, who started off asking how many records there are and where are, and several judges asked, where are you in the redaction process? Mm-hmm. There appear to be somewhere around 45 of these records that are covered by the subpoena. The hospital has tried to cooperate with the government in terms of, even though we're winners below and getting busy in case we lose here, they have, the last I checked with the hospital, the process of redacting was not finished, was far from finished, and because I have to advise the hospital on compliance with HIPAA, I've taken a look at several records that have been done so far, and I can tell you I'm going to send them back to the drawing boards for more work. This is a very laborious process, and there is a lot of
information. When you say look at HIPAA, you mean at 514?
Yes, that is.
So your view is that 514 is applicable because...
Well, my view is that if we are ordered to produce these records by the court, subject to the government's sort of tentative agreement that we can redact this information, we're going to redact the information that HIPAA says ought to be redacted or can be redacted, and that's what we're working on. It doesn't express any view of mine on 514.
No,
we're just trying to do whatever we're ordered to do, and there is a good ways to go, I can tell you. I want to go...
Did you say 45?
Somewhere around that, Judge Mannion, that's right.
Can we talk about Dr. Hammond and his statements and the argument that the government makes that they have to have these records because he was vague in terms of his response when he was asked about specific cases?
You know, I
and
can't,
why it wouldn't be relevant.
You know, I haven't seen what Dr. Hammond said. I'm not a party there, so I don't know what he said, and I'll take Mr. Coffin's word for it. But I can tell you that I represent doctors and hospitals all the time, and showing somebody one of 45 records is at best going to, the notion that he's suddenly going to remember everything doesn't square with common experience. That isn't going to help him that much. But let me go right to the heart of this relevance question, because I think this really is the heart of what Judge Koukouras decided. He said that these records were likely to have little or no relevance. He said that relevance is relevant. It doesn't matter under what rubric.
But the government says you've waived by not adequately presenting below any argument that even if HIPAA is inapplicable, just the ordinary process of, you know, adjudicating a third party discovery objection, balancing benefit and burden and so on, has been waived.
There was nothing perfunctory about our argument in the court below, Judge Posner. What we did was we argued under our previous legal arguments relevance at great length. We argued burden on patients at great length, and then we took what we had argued and we put a special section in our brief saying, if you agree with the question of relevance and you agree with the question of burden on patients' privacy, it follows as night follows day that this is an undue burden on patients under Rule 45C. There was nothing...
So you didn't make a 45C argument?
Absolutely. We made it very crisply, and we did it on the basis of extensive discussion. And let me tell you what that discussion was, because I think this Judge Koukouras' finding on relevance didn't come out of thin air. We took him through Dr. Hammond's declaration, section by section, in our brief. And section by section, we said, here's what's at issue. Here is why these records are overwhelmingly unlikely to produce anything that's an issue in NAF versus Ashcroft. What did the government tell Judge Koukouras in response? It gave him two sentences of argument. Two sentences. It said the doctor mentioned these patients, so of course they're relevant. That's what it said. So Judge Koukouras had a reasoned, detailed, lengthy argument from us about relevance. He had two sentences from the government in response, and he found that the records were overwhelmingly likely to be irrelevant. Now, we get to this court, and the government files its opening brief. What does it say in response to this clear finding by Judge Koukouras? It gives you the same two sentences. And so we had to do all over again for this court what we did for Judge Koukouras, and we did it in even more detail. We said, look, here are the things that, in order for these records to be relevant, you've got to pass three tests. Number one, the statement by Dr. Hammond in question that mentions a patient or refers to patients has got to be disputed. Number two, if it is disputed, it has to be a material dispute in NAS v. Ashcroft. And three, if it is a material dispute in NAS v. Ashcroft, there has to be some likelihood that the patient record will cast light on that dispute. And we showed that the answer to all of those questions, or some of them, or at least one of them, in all cases in his declaration, is no. Now, what did they say in their reply brief? This is the first time in this entire litigation that the government has seen fit to try and make an argument, a specific argument about records. And let me take the best case they could throw at you. The case of this woman who has leukemia. What do they say about that? They say that, let me get my notes here. They say that they cite this patient on page 10 of their brief, and they say, well, of course, we need the records of this patient with leukemia to see whether she really needed an abortion to protect her health. But that's not the issue in NAS v. Ashcroft, as Judge Posner pointed out to counsel. This woman had a right to have this abortion for any reason she chose. She didn't even need to have it for her health, although there was a good reason for it. The Partial Birth Abortion Act doesn't stop her from getting an abortion. It only stops one particular technique that is used in abortion. And so there will be no issue in NAF v. Ashcroft as to whether this woman with leukemia needed to have an abortion.
But for whatever reason, Congress passed the law to only stop that one procedure when it's kind of obvious there are other procedures that have the same result. They also made findings about when and should it be used. I guess my problem here is we're not trying this case. Judge Casey is. He's set out certain parameters and principles that this and denied plaintiff summary judgment. I know you're not a party here, but he denied that because he assumed that this is a disputed fact and that these documents are necessary along with the testimony of these witnesses, the plaintiffs. Now, I can argue back and forth one way or the other, as Judge Koukouras did and others, but I look more at who's trying the case. And it seems that there are a number of things that can be explored with these documents. I'm surprised you're only 45. I thought he said he at least supervised about 300 a year. Is that...
Well, that's what he says, but the government doesn't ask for all of his records for all abortions that he does.
Okay.
The government asked for records in specific generic categories that he mentioned in his declaration, or specific patients that he alluded to who had to have abortions for some medical reason. But let me answer your question, Judge Mannion, because it's a fair one. The question, I suppose, is... Why was Judge Koukouras deciding the relevance issue? And the answer is threefold. Number one, the government asked him to. The government asked him to say these records are relevant. They never suggested that he should defer and let Judge Casey decide this. And then they got an answer they didn't like, and now all of a sudden it's let's defer to Judge Casey. Number two, under the rules of civil procedure, under Rule 45, it was Judge Koukouras who had to decide this issue. He had no power to transfer this issue to Judge Casey. He had no power to make Northwestern or anybody else in the Northern District of Illinois litigate this issue before Judge Casey, and so he had to decide it. And number three, if you take a look at Judge Casey's opinion, the opinion of last Friday, which of course we haven't had a chance to address because it was filed after our brief, Judge Casey didn't analyze relevance in even a sentence. He says nothing about why these records are relevant. Well, whereas a judge in San Francisco who has actually seen sample medical records agrees with Judge Koukouras that they're not.
That judge in San Francisco, the government counsel said it was just one record that was reviewed.
As far as I can tell from her opinion, she reviewed a sample medical record and she made three findings. Number one, there's nothing in this record that can help the government that I can see, and of course that's right. Number two is, we're going to decide these medical necessity issues on the basis of expert testimony. By the way, the government says that there is no medical literature on this issue. I beg to differ. The government has filed papers in Judge Casey's case and in some of these other cases, as far as I know, identifying their expert, and there is a long list of medical literature that their expert is going to cite to. There was medical literature in the Stenberg case. Congress can say, well, there's no definitive medical literature, but, you know, I don't know what they mean by definitive. But let me go back to this leukemia patient and just finish this point. The Dr. Hammond says that he uses the intact DNA method, that is, trying to deliver the fetus as intact as possible, because he thinks that as a general matter, this reduces certain risks to the patient, and he identified what those risks were. He thinks that by doing this, he has to insert sharp instruments fewer times into the uterus. He thinks that this causes less bony material to come through the cervix. I'm sorry to be so graphic. He thinks that, in general, for these reasons, it is likely to take less time in surgery and therefore less risk of blood loss. He thinks that pathologists prefer to analyze intact specimens rather than fragmented ones to find out what's wrong. And the question is, how on earth would this best case that the government has postulated to you, how on earth would those leukemia records help the government say that Dr. Hammond is wrong in this general evaluation of risks? He did not say and did not imply that it would have been impossible to do an in utero DNA on this patient. He doesn't say that this patient wouldn't have survived or that her health would have suffered. He just says what Stenberg says. He says that I think that there are risks in doing it the other way, and that's why I use this procedure. And I am befuddled to think of any way in which this poor woman's leukemia records or her abortion records would show that Dr. Hammond is lying or even incorrect in making that assessment of risks.
Would there be something in that record, as Judge Posner was asking, about the life of the mother? Because it seems with leukemia or some what would be a fatal disease that this the life of the mother is actually threatened by this pregnancy. And maybe there is something in the record that would show that, which sidesteps this issue about just which alternative method he would use.